I do really love Epiphany. I love that we have moved our Magi from the back of the sanctuary to the front. I love the idea of the star hovering over this stable, so much so that the Magi could follow it from another country. And even though I don't know how in the world that could happen, I just love the whole thing. So today, let's really look at this story. I know in all of our nativity scenes, not just this, all around, our Magi look like kings. In all the Christmas pageants, there are the children with the bathrobes and the toy crowns from Party City. But actually, they weren't kings. They were wise guys. They were scientists. For my Big Bang Theory friends, they were Sheldon, Leonard, Raj, and Howard, and maybe even Leslie Winkle. They studied the stars and nature, and they probably would have fit really great here in Austin, because they might have been a little weird. And probably, if it were today, they would probably be pretty tatted up also. I love that we've kind of turned them into our own idea of who they might have been. And maybe that's what Matthew wanted all along. Maybe Matthew wanted us to paint our own picture in our mind. But living here in Austin, we probably could make the wise men pretty weird. Now, these really out there science guys come from another country, and they follow this star, and surprise of all surprises, they stop and ask directions. And of all places, they stop and ask King Herod, where is this baby who is to be the king of the Jews? Frankly, the picture that I have in my mind is of Herod freaking out. I really love the idea of Herod sitting down with these three wise guys and trying really hard to figure this out. I found there's not a lot of pictures depicting this scene, but I found this one. Herod sitting down with the Magi. I really wish we could get a little more information, like what was Herod's blood pressure at this time? I'm guessing it's pretty high. Isn't it funny that Herod's people were so quick to know exactly where Jesus was born, even though they knew nothing about it before these strangers come into town? These strangers from another country come searching on Herod's turf, and he's in the dark. But he seems to keep his cool, at least in this picture and in our scripture. He seems to keep his cool, and he comes to them and he acts excited about this king that he knows nothing about. I then love this next picture of the kings traveling. It's funny to me because we have once again decided that there are three wise men. The Bible tells us nothing about the number, but there are three wise guys. We choose three, I think, because the three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But I really think it was a lot of people. I mean, first of all, who would travel across country without lots of supplies? This isn't a day trip. This is a long period of time. So they had to come with plenty of supplies, and I'm guessing that Magi would also need their people. And so I feel like this next picture probably depicts more of what this looked like coming into Bethlehem. People after people following these wise men. So here we are. What I feel like is probably a large group of people. None of them are Jews. So they're not familiar with the prophets who have foretold the birth of the baby. They are traveling great distances following this amazing star. I can't even begin to imagine the expense that they incurred. And the Jews, who are supposed to be prepared for this, totally miss it. And the Gentiles are flocking to meet Jesus. What does that say to us? Do we have so much knowledge sometimes up here that we miss what's right in front of us? Do we get so caught up in our picture of what's happening that we miss Christ? Can we as Christians totally miss Christ? When the Magi finally find Jesus, several things happened. They enter and they bow down and they worship him. And then they give him the gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Many, many find lots of symbolism in those gifts. Gold representing royalty, frankincense for his divinity, and myrrh for his sorrowful death. I don't know if God sent messages to the Magi telling them what gifts to bring, but what they brought was precious. Precious at the time. It wasn't age appropriate for a child. It was precious. What would we bring to Christ today? What would we consider to be precious? Would it be some kind of eye gadget or a fancy car? Or gold, or oil. Maybe it would be a college education for Jesus. What would be precious? We really can't even begin to imagine, can we? Because stuff has become so disposable to us. But what would you bring if you were going to meet the king? These wise guys, the Magi, they're our role models in giving a priceless gifts, in giving our true adoration to Christ. We struggle, don't we? We struggle to give the simplest of gifts. But what do we give to celebrate Christ? What should we bring? Once the Magi have met Jesus and the angels have warned them to leave in a different way, and now I'm guessing that they probably knew without the help of an angel that Herod didn't exactly like the idea of this king and probably wasn't going to come and bow down before him. And so another gift that they gave, probably to themselves as well as to Jesus, was to travel a different way back to their country so that they would be available. and free to share the good news of the birth of this child. While that was a practical decision, it also leaves me thinking about myself. Once we meet Jesus, nothing is ever the same. The road we travel is just different. That old road is gone, and a new road lies in front of us with a new map and with all new possibilities. T.S. Eliot imagined the thought of the Magi once they got back to their country, and he imagined that they would say this: "We return to our places, but no longer at ease here, in the old dispensation, with an alien people clutching to their gods. Jesus doesn't make our lives easier, or help us fit in, or help us succeed. We're not comfortable in a world seeking worldly things rather than godly things. We notice pretenders because we've seen the light. Nothing is the same. Nothing is easy. It's not supposed to be. The road unfamiliar and strange, but we feel better because we're on it, because it's going somewhere." The word epiphany that we use for this day, actually 11 days after Christmas, means the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. Or it can mean the manifestation of a deity. But we often use the term epiphany as a new idea. I hope we use this day each year as a reminder to even motivate us to our need to share the manifestation of Christ to this world, to share the importance of giving our most valued possession over to Christ, of seeking out Christ in our world, in our lives, of having our lives changed and having our journey made new. May Epiphany be a reminder. Amen and amen.